Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us. John, how are you?
Fine, and happy birthday, Jonathan. I saw Paul's tweet a while ago.
Oh, thank you, John. Appreciate that. We've been reminiscing of the great off-the-field career of Pac-Man Jones today.
John, is it we know what he's going to be remembered for here in Nashville, and it's the sound clip we just played.
No, he's not going into the Hall of Fame.
No. Of course not. I was joking about that. Is he going to be remembered? I know it's going to be different in Nashville, but is it always going to be a part of his memory as a player, the off-field stuff? Or are there groups of fans who will only remember him as a good cornerback?
I don't think so. First of all, I couldn't understand him when he played, and I couldn't understand a word of what y'all
I caught about 20% of what he was saying.
And from the problem in Vegas, I'll tell you what I remember most about Pac-Man Jones was when he was with the Cowboys and they were on Hard Knocks, and he told them how many balls he could catch on punts without putting one down. I can't remember how many he caught, but it was amazing. That's what I remember.
That's the memory Pac-Man Jones wants, John, for you to have. Very nice of you.
John, the memory we'll have of Aaron Rodgers is not being able to chug that beer last night at the Milwaukee Bucks game. What'd you think?
I thought that he didn't try very hard.
Yeah.
And I was more impressed that Christian Yost, the MVP, stood up and he guzzled his with no problem. Aaron Rodgers looked like he was on a Sunday stroll and was just doing it because people were chanting his name.
He then tweeted later, next time, scotch, which I thought was funny.
Sounds like a quarterback.
John, what do you think of Ndamukong Suh to Tampa Bay?
I think if he went to Tampa, he had no other offers. Not heard his name. He didn't play well last season. He cranked it up in the playoffs and played well then because he's on a one-year contract. He had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. But nobody in their right mind would want to go to the Buccaneers. And Gerald McCoy is a genius. He's out of there. Now he can sign with any team. His agent's got multiple teams interested. At least the agent is leaking that he does. And so I think that McCoy is a better player. Neither one of them's close to being what they used to be.
John McClain with us. You can join him 615-737-1045, our number, 737-1045. Gerald McCoy, John, on the player that they released in Tampa. He's going to have upwards of 8 to 10 teams interested, according to the national reports. How coveted will he be on the market, and what type of contract would you expect for him?
Well, I would imagine that's his agent leaking to the media about 11 teams are interested. It's up to $11 million, and all these teams that are interested. I'll say this about McCoy. He was a really good player, a great guy, great family man, good team leader, great in the community. And he was going to make $13 million base salary, not guaranteed, of course. And if the Buccaneers thought he could still help them, they would have tried to get him to renegotiate his contract. They could have given him some signing bonus money, lowered that figure, but they didn't try, which they know him better than anybody. They've seen every play. They've seen him behind the scenes, and I don't know why they decided that Gerald McCoy couldn't help them. Bruce Arians said at the NFL meetings in March he didn't make the impact plays he used to, and then I guess he realized they probably shouldn't have said that. He goes, but he's still a really good player. But they don't think he could play, or they would have got it done.
Yeah, and they're only getting Sue for $3.5 million less than the number that they tried to make the McCoy stuff all about.
That's it?
Yeah, I don't.
He's getting 9.5, I think.
If you're going to settle for Sue, why not just at least make an attempt to get Gerald McCoy to redo. I'm not saying take a pay cut. I'm saying redo his contract, get a big chunk of change up front, and then lower that cap figure so you can sign your number one pick. But they didn't make an effort, and that's good for him because now he's going to get to go play with a good team. I don't know if he's going to go for the money or he's going to go for the Super Bowl.
John McClain, presented by FreelandChevy.com, with us for another segment.
And now is your chance to talk with John McClain. Talk league with him. Talk about your favorite team. We can talk Titans also.
Talk some league.
Whatever you want to get into, let's talk some league.
What is on the docket for the NFL spring meetings?
Isn't that the one they just had?
Is it over? Or is there one more coming up? I thought they... Aren't I saw some audio with Goodell speaking on medical marijuana.
Well, the medical marijuana is going to be used as a bargaining chip, I'm sure, when the next negotiations for the collective bargaining agreement come up. Just like last time, the NFL gave players more money, but they also gave them a lot more time off as they requested, and the owners laughed all the way to the bank. This time, players may say, okay, we don't want the franchise tag. Oh, really? Well, what if we keep it and we give you marijuana? Okay, we'll take it. So I, for purely medicinal purposes, of course, considering they only get tested once unless you get busted, you got to be a moron to get caught.
Yeah, agreed.
Phone lines are open. If you've got a football question, we can talk league with John McClain. Mm-hmm. We can talk about your favorite team. Whatever you want to get into, it's fair game. Right now, your chance to talk with the man in black himself, John McClain. 615-737-1045. 737-1045.
What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. I didn't know, John, you were the man in black. That's awesome, man.
He is many things.
Thank you very much. Nick,
you need to recognize, not just the man in black. John wears many hats.
All right, I know he does. And by the way, I'll be at Logan's event. I look forward to it, man. It's a really great cause.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you there.
All right, yeah, thanks, guys. John, always nice to hear you on the radio. Quick question about my Steelers. Now that the money grubber is off the team, and now that the diva is off the team, do we have a chance, do you think, to maybe contend? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
A lot of people are going to pick Cleveland to win the division. I'm sticking with Pittsburgh. I don't see the Steelers having two non-playoff seasons in a row. I know people up there won't say this publicly, but they are so relieved. Tonight they have the headaches, and it's not, you know, I don't think that Le'Veon Bell, he wanted to get paid what he thought he deserved, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, Antonio Brown, that was ridiculous. He's destined to be unhappy in Oakland as well, but I don't see the Steelers as a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
And how quickly the perception has changed on them. Do you have them second in the division behind Cleveland right now?
Yeah, no, I'm taking them first and Cleveland second. But
Cleveland in the playoffs? Also,
I'm not sure yet. I got to wait and see what happens. I'll tell you something else that gets me is most people, I thought this last year, that the main team that had a chance to upset New England would be the Steelers, and I just don't feel the same about them. Losing Mike Munchak, I think, was a huge blow to their offense. Because Mike is an outstanding offensive line coach, and people up there know that. I don't know how much the fans realize it, but I think that he was a blow. So it's not just Bell and Brown. It's also Munchak.
I think Pittsburgh – you know, they're one of those teams that could always be there. But they've been rated so many years in a row, it seems like, as the primary preseason challenger anyway to New England. I see that going by the wayside. For me, that's Indianapolis now. And I'd be surprised. And a lot of people are going to say the Chiefs, though. I think the Chiefs' overhaul on defense might take a while.
I agree.
We go next to Mario. Hey, Mario.
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Great.
Talk about the Dallas Cowboy offense with the addition of Randall Cobb and return of Jason Witten and Travis Ferguson coming back. Do you think the Cowboys have done enough this offseason to complement the defense they had last year to maybe get farther in the playoffs?
Well, they got to the divisional round last year. I think they need to get some of these contract distractions out of the way. But with Elliott and Prescott and then Cooper being there an entire offseason and a season, and not just with Travis Frederick returning at center, but also Tyron Smith is healthy. He's been beat up a lot the last 2 years. Now, he might get hurt again. But the offensive line should be better than it's been the last couple of years. So then a defense led by its linebackers, you know, I'm going to pick them to win the division. I haven't picked the division winner to repeat in the NFC East in years because they don't. But I think the Cowboys are better than the Eagles. I'll be surprised if Carson Wentz plays a full season because not only has he been hurt twice in Philadelphia, he was hurt his last year in college too. So I'm going with the Cowboys. As far as they've been a Super Bowl contender, are they as good as the Rams? The Rams beat them last year. I could see them contending with the best teams in the NFC, although I'm going to pick the Saints to reach the Super Bowl.
Eric in Nashville is next up. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. John, first of all, I want to wish you, everybody 104.5 and all the listeners out there, just to have a great, safe, and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you, Eric.
Hey, John, my question is concerning the dysfunctional New York Jets. I just want to get your thoughts on that. Of course, there were reports that they were trying to reach out to Peyton Manning and offer him a position with the Jets. If I'm him, I stay as far away from that organization as possible. And, of course, reports that Adam Gase was not happy with them signing Le'Veon Bell, and reports now getting out that apparently wanted to trade him. Of course, that's true. He's certainly not going to save it. I just want to get your thoughts about this whole situation involving the Jets. John, it's always good to talk to you. Take care. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Eric. I thought the fired general manager, Mike Maccagnan, had a good off season. I got no issue with him being fired. But 3 weeks after the draft is too long. And Gase now will play a big role in bringing in the next general manager. I don't blame him for reaching out to Peyton. Why not? He and Gase are tight. But Peyton's never – I don't think any of us have ever thought Peyton was stupid. He wants to run a team. I don't think he'd be stupid enough to go to the Jets and get in that cesspool with Christopher Johnson running it while his brother is an ambassador in the United Kingdom. It's just, I think Peyton, other opportunities will surface. He's waiting for a job like that, like Chris Ballard waited for the right general manager's job, turned down multiple offers till he got Indianapolis, and he's doing a terrific job. So I don't know who it'll get. I'm guessing a glorified personnel man.
Joe Douglas, an assistant in the front office in Philly, was the quick rumor there, but nothing's happened. Do you think that indicates anything about the possibility that it's him? You think they move slowly here? Gase, when he spoke, made it sound like, hey, I'm very temporary in this job. We're getting a guy, and he's going to have the same responsibilities Maccagnan did.
The Eagles are not going to let Joe Douglas go unless they get it in writing that he will have final say over personnel. A lot of people think now Gase is going to have it, and you can't give a guy the title of general manager without him having final say over personnel, or you can block him leaving. And I think that's the holdup if indeed he's the guy they want. Just because he and Gates spent a year together in Chicago doesn't mean Joe Douglas is eager to go to the Jets. He'll have other opportunities as well. I think it's more of a case of they're having trouble getting somebody in there to come in, is what we all believe might be the most dysfunctional organization in the NFL.
Maccagnan, you knew, yeah, in Houston?
Oh, yeah, I knew Mike very well.
He got some pretty harsh reviews outgoing from Mike Lombardi in particular. The roster he left behind, obviously it looks like they had an interesting offseason here, and he probably found the quarterback last year. But what did you think of his overall body of work there?
I thought getting Sam Darnold, he traded. He waited to see what quarterback was available. It took Darnold. I saw Darnold last year have a great game against the Texans. Texans beat him, but he was terrific. And then getting Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Mosley, and James Crowder, an inside receiver that they needed. People say, well, he overpaid. Well, you may have to overpay to get people to come play for that organization. So I think they've given them some talented players. You know, they've got good defensive linemen, good safety. They've got players down the middle. But overall, after that initial 10-6 season, Mike McKegnan's record and Todd Bowles, of course, as a coach, their record was awful. And I just think, though, it's by letting it fester and go as long as it did, they should have just fired him the week after the draft. He'll end up being a personnel director somewhere.
John, have a great weekend, and we'll catch up next week.
Guys, I hope you do too. Thank you. Yeah.